Okay, well, good morning, everybody. My name's Clayton, I'm the lead pastor here at Central. I'm so glad you guys are with us. I just had 3 cups of coffee and I ate a candy bar. Yeah, true story. I don't know what I was thinking. So I'm ready to go today. I just want to say thank you to Noah. I don't know if he's in this service, but he preached the last 2 Sundays while some of us were on a kind of a vision trip, fun, going to see where Paul walked in Greece, and it was incredible. We took 28 people. It was awesome. In fact, I think last Sunday, while you guys were doing church, we were actually on the island of Patmos, going in the cave, seeing where John got revelation. It was an incredible, incredible trip, but we got to go to so many different amazing places to see where Paul went on some of his missionary journeys. In fact, after Easter, so Easter's in 2 weeks, right after Easter, we're jumping into the book of Acts, and we're going to be there for 19 weeks, and we're going to go through all of the book of Acts, and I'm hoping to be able to share some new perspective on things about what was going on back then with these early believers in these brand new churches, because we've been there and been able to see what was going on. Man, it's just something different to be able to actually read the scripture of what happened when you're standing in the place that it happened. It was awesome. It was incredible. So we get home. We bring the rain with us, right? It's been crazy rain. The other day, my daughter, Hannah, she calls me and she's like, "Dad, my car window won't roll up." And she's like in the middle of the rain. And I was like, "Well, you shouldn't have rolled it down." It's just old car. And I'm just thinking, man, it's just one other thing that I got to fix. I got to order the part and got to take the door off and fix all of that. How many of you guys have never owned a brand new car? Anybody? Okay, so you kids. Okay, there's some adults who have never owned a brand new car. You know, I thought I would never own a brand new car until like right after COVID and we needed a vehicle and we're shopping for used cars. Remember that time where used cars were more expensive than new cars? It was super weird. So we ended up buying this new car, the first time ever, probably the only time ever, and it was awesome. It was a Jeep Grand Cherokee L. We loved it. We're like, this is gonna be our family car. We drove down to Dallas to pick it up. It's the only place where we could get it. And so Holly and I drive all the way down to Dallas to pick up this car. It comes right off the truck. I mean, it has no miles on it. And so they pull it up and to the front, and we start looking around it and looking through it. We're like, this car is awesome. And then we notice some scratches on it. And it has 0 miles on it. And I'm like, what are these scratches? I'm like, I don't know. I'm like, well, you got to fix these scratches. And so they tried as best they could to fix the scratches, but it didn't fix it. And I was bummed that we finally got this new car and it had scratches all over it. All of us are kind of like that, right? Every single one of us has scratches on us, don't we? Every one of us is wounded. We got scars. None of us are like this showroom model, you know, of a vehicle. And what I love about wounds and scars is that they tell a story, don't they? You know, whether it's a scratch on a car or on your body, those things, they tell stories. And I want to ask this question today. What stories do your scars tell? I got some scars that I like to share the stories of. On my lip, I've got this little scar from my dog when I was 3 years old. His name was Bernie, and he was a dachshund. I don't like dachshunds anymore. And he bit my lip. Sorry, the gasp over here. I don't know what that was all about. And then I've got this on my palm. I ran through a plate glass window. Got that all scratched up and had to get stitches opened up. On my ankle, I have this little scar from a jellyfish that stung me in Galveston. Okay, I don't know why we were in Galveston. It's not the best place to go to the beach. But we were in there, and I got stung by a jellyfish. It hurt. I still feel the pain from it, and I've got this scar. I've got scars all over my legs from playing sports growing up. But in the last couple years, I've actually gotten a lot more scars. I had hernia surgery like 2 years ago. I've got like 3 holes in my stomach from hernia surgery. That was weird. I got shingles on the top of my head. Let me tell you, if you're a bald person, that's not the place to get shingles, okay? It was awful, and it left these scars on the back of my head, and I've tried to cover them up, and Rogaine, I didn't do any of that, but I wear like hats and things like that, but I've got this scar back here. I've got holes all in my shoulder from having like 3 different shoulder surgeries. from when I was younger. But the best scar that I have, and you can probably have, some of you guys have better scars than I do. The best scar I have is right here on my arm. And most of you guys know the story. In fact, here's a picture of me up on the screen. I had to preach with this weird, goofy brace on last summer. But I was doing something stupid. I was thinking I was 20 years old, and I'm not anymore. And I was lifting something too heavy. My bicep tendon explodes, comes off the bone. It, like, sucked up in here in my armpit. The doctor, surgeon, went in, and he used, like, some tongs or something like they do for fishing, you know, to go way down to get the lure. And he had to go way up in there and try to find it, grabs it, pulls it all the way down, reattaches it. It was pretty cool. But I remember the surgeon was, when I was laying on the bed and before surgery, and they give you like the good medicine, you know what I'm talking about? And yeah, and he begins to say, "Are you ready?" I'm like, "Yeah, man, whatever." And he gets his Sharpie out and marks where, because he wanted to make sure they don't operate on the wrong arm, right? That'd be weird. And so he marks where it's going to be. And I looked at him. I said, "I want you to give me a good scar." Just kind of a weird thing to think. But I was like, this is a cool place, you know, where I can tell the story, right? I want to be able to tell a good story. Here's the problem. We all have wounds, don't we? But some of us have wounds that aren't visible. Some of us have wounds that aren't physical. In fact, one out of every three women in this room will be scarred in this life, will be wounded in this life from some type of abuse. One out of every 10 men here in this room will deal with some serious depression and anxiety. And it's one of those things that as men in our culture, we're not supposed to really talk about. We're supposed to kind of just keep all that in. That's maybe one of the reasons why men are four times more likely to commit suicide. About half of the marriages in our culture, in our community, will end in divorce, which means that about half of the kids going to school today, growing up, they live in homes that have dealt with that. Blended homes and homes where maybe one of the parent is gone. 70% of us will deal with some major traumatic event in our lives. You know what a real traumatic event is? It's when you are walking a certain way and you got your life laid out and everything is pretty good, and all of a sudden some tragedy happens that completely changes the rest of your life. 70% of us will go through that. Many of you have already gone through those and you're shaking your head going, I know what you're talking about. But the truth this morning is that 100% of us will be betrayed. We will grieve. We will go through heartache. We'll experience fear and loneliness and shame. Every single one of us is going to go through those things. And when life is easy, life with God is easy, isn't it? I mean, when everything's awesome, and me and God, we've got this great relationship, and everything I've asked for is happening, I'm just on cloud nine, life is great. But then when you get wounded, what happens is it influences how you think and how you see God. And it changes your relationship. It kind of throws a wrench in the middle of that relationship. And you ask questions like, why, God? Why is this happening to me? I don't deserve that. I didn't want this, yet it still has happened. What happens is your thoughts kind of begin to change where you say, you know what, God, okay, I believe maybe God exists, but he's not near. Because I feel totally alone. You know, and a good God wouldn't allow this to happen to my family, wouldn't allow this to happen to me. I wouldn't have gotten this cancer diagnosis if there was a good God. And so God, he either doesn't exist or he's not good. We begin to have these doubts and these thoughts. This wrench is thrown into the middle of our relationship. And so we show up to church on Sunday, and everybody says, how are you doing? And what do we say? Marvelous. Okay, fine, I'm fine. Okay? Every single one of us lies on Sunday morning, right? Right? How many of you guys have said, I'm good? I'm great. Everything's all, every single one of us, okay? And we're all lying. There's things going on in our lives that if we were honest, what we'd say is, look, I'm not okay. I'm not okay. But what has happened, I'm never going to get over. I'm never going to be the same. Well, Jesus has something to say to us this morning. In fact, I want to read the middle of a verse where Jesus is talking to his followers. In John chapter 16, here's what Jesus says. He says, here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows. I don't like that, okay? That's not something to put on a coffee mug, okay? I don't like that verse. I don't like that what Jesus just said. He said, look, here on this earth, you're going to have many trials and many sorrows. What he's saying is, look, you can't escape it. In this world, in a broken world, you can't escape the trials and the sorrows. But the goal for your wounds is not to get over your wounds, but to get through them. You got to walk through them. And your body is a perfect example of that happening. When your body is working properly and you get wounded, what happens is that your body begins to kind of address and attack that wound. And so you have all these white blood cells that start to invade that area. They begin to fight off infection. You want that to happen because you don't want it to get infected. So those things are happening. You can't see them. Those things are happening. And all of a sudden, this collagen protein fibers begin to flood the area, and they begin to create this grid over and around the wound. And that grid begins to fill in more and more and more. And over time, it produces a scar. That's how your body's supposed to work, okay? That's what happens over and over again. When you look on your arm, on your body, and you see scars, that's what's happened in your body. Every healed wound will leave a scar. But many of us who are struggling with emotional wounds, with psychological wounds, we have those wounds and they have not scarred over yet. They're still open. Some of them are infected. And they're hurting us, not just in that spot in your life, but they are invading all of your life. But there's some good news. The Bible talks about what God can do to our wounds. In fact, in Psalm 147, in verse 3, here's what the Bible says about God. It says that God heals the brokenhearted and bandages their wounds. This is a recurring theme throughout Scripture, that God bandages the brokenhearted. If you want to remember anything today, that would be something to remember, that God bandages the brokenhearted. You see, the Bible is just a story of one big scar. Think about this. It's full of stories of brokenness, isn't it? All over the place, full of brokenness. You have those who are physically handicapped. You have these relationally outcast people. They're spiritually oppressed. They're economically burdened. They're hungry. They're thirsty. Those people, some of them have lost everything. There's no future for so many people. You read through Scripture, you're like, I can empathize with them. And then God steps in the middle of their stories. And this is what Jesus loves to do. Jesus loves to heal. That's what he does. Especially for those who follow him. In fact, I wanted to pause for a moment. And I want us to kind of look at one of the followers of Jesus who had some serious scars in this life. And his name's Paul. In fact, in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, you could turn there. And I wanted to kind of just look at, he gives this list of all of these scars, all of these wounds that he has gone through. And I want to see if we can kind of relate to what he went through. Here's what he says halfway through verse 23 of 2 Corinthians 11. Here's what he says. He says, I have worked harder. I've been put in prison more often, been whipped times without number, and faced death again and again. Five different times the Jewish leaders gave me 39 lashes. And three times I was beaten with rods, and once I was stoned. And that's not the stone that y'all are thinking about, okay? It was rough, right? He went through some actual physical pain for following after Jesus. I mean, look at that list. That is awful. If Paul was here today, and he took off his shirt and showed you his back would just be one giant scar because of the pain and suffering that he went through. As he walked from place to place into hostile areas, telling people about Jesus. He had some physical wounds. Some of us have been wounded because of our faith. Whether it's in your job and relationships and things like that. In your community. You've been wounded just like he has. But he's not done. He goes on and says, three times I was shipwrecked. So he's got some situations going on. Once I spent a whole night and a day adrift at sea. I've traveled on many long journeys. I have faced danger from rivers and from robbers. I have faced danger from my own people, the Jews, as well as from the Gentiles. I have faced danger in the cities, in the deserts, and on the seas. And I have faced danger from men who claim to be believers but are not. So what he's talking about are these traumatic experiences that he's going through. I mean, he didn't cause these things. He didn't cause a shipwreck. He's just going through it. And we read through the Bible, and sometimes we read, especially the book of Acts, it says, okay, they traveled from this city to this city, and you kind of just move on to what's happening in that city. What happened in between? It took forever for them to walk or ride or whatever they got. They went from place to place. What happened in the middle of that? And Paul begins to talk about it. He says, look, we face incredible dangers. People try to rob us. People tried to kill us. And you know what the worst part was for him? Some of the Jewish people, when he got from town to town, they hated him and they tried to get rid of him. And some Gentile people who were following after different false gods, okay, they hated what Paul was preaching, saying, look, you don't need to follow after all these gods, you just follow after Jesus. And they said, no, we don't want any of that. They tried to stone him, they tried to kill him. The thing that hurt him the most is he says he faced danger from men who claim to be believers but are not. He was stabbed in the back many, many times by people who said they were following after Jesus. It was difficult situations. He went through some traumatic things. But he's not done. He says this in verse 27. I have worked hard and long, enduring many sleepless nights. I've been hungry and thirsty, and I've often gone without food. I have shivered in the cold without enough clothing to keep me warm. Here's my interpretation of what he's saying. He's saying, I'm exhausted. Anybody can relate? Look, here's how the message may say it. I don't know. I'm reading the message. When it rains, it pours. That's what he's saying. He's saying, man, I cannot get any relief. Over and over again, it's been difficult. It's been a difficult journey. Can anybody relate to that? You get one bad thing of bad news, and it just begins to pile up. And you're like, man, it's crazy. You know what? He saves, I think, the hardest part to the end. Verse 28, he says, then besides all this, I have the daily burden of my concern for all the churches. Relationship issues. You read most of the rest of the New Testament, all these letters, he's writing back to them, he's this burden and concern for them. It affected him, it changed him, it wounded him at times. Here's the point, your scars, what they do is they tell the story of hurt. Paul's scars, I mean, they're literally showing, he's listing all the hurt in his life. And your scars tell that story, that you actually have been hurt. And here's the truth this morning, life hurts, doesn't it? Okay? It's not a good message, okay? No one likes that, okay? But life hurts. A couple years ago, Holly and I were sitting down at the table playing cards, some people, and we get a phone call from Holly's mom. Jim and Karen, they live here and they go to church here, and with tears and just through broken cries, she says that Chad's gone. Chad's Holly's brother, their only son, Jim and Karen's only son. He was in the airborne, got PTSD really bad, fully disabled, was living in Vegas, and his body just gave out on him in his mid-40s. It was awful. It's terrible. I mean, I can't imagine, like, I mean, I don't know how they dealt with that. I don't know how a mom and dad deal with the loss of a son too early, right? I think about Corbin, my son Corbin, when that happened, and it was just, I don't know how to deal with that. I don't know how Holly dealt with that with her only brother, passing away, and I was just kind of there trying to help them. We get on emergency flights to Las Vegas, and we try to deal with all that and go through. It was just an awful, awful time. It was tough. Life hurts, and it's not fair, and it was different than, like, you know, if you got a great-grandmother that's 95, and she's like, I'm ready to go, you know, and she loves Jesus, and, you know, she's lived a full life, and you begin to kind of process her someday not being here and passing away, and she's even, you know, planned her whole funeral and all that kind of, pretty much preaching her own funeral. Like, she's got it all planned. She's lived a good life. When she passes away, yes, there's grief, but then there's also, you know, there's joy, and you know where she's going, and you lived a good life, died at an old age. But when someone dies young, it's like, it's not fair. Life hurts. Life is not supposed to be that way, and you're never the same. You know what, Paul? He goes on and says something I think is really profound when we think about life hurting. Here's what he says in verse 29. He says, who is weak without my feeling that weakness? That's kind of a confusing verse. What does he mean? I think what he's saying is, I know how you feel. Who is weak without me feeling weakness as well? I know how you feel. When you've gone through the ringer and you're like, I'm just ready to throw in the towel, I can't do this anymore, Paul's saying, I felt that way too. When you begin to doubt God because you're like, where are you, God? Why would you allow this to happen in my life? Paul's saying, I felt that same way. When you think that you're never going to get through this is too much for you, Paul's saying, I have felt the same thing. He's saying, look, I've been there. And I love what he goes on to do in this passage. He goes on and he's going to give us the secret to actually healing from those wounds. So he's listed all these wounds, but like, what do you do now? I mean, you just kind of live with them? Like, what are you supposed to do? And Paul gives us a secret. The secret is to change our focus of how we see those wounds. Look what he says in verse 30. He says, if I must boast, I would rather boast about the things that show how weak I am. If I'm going to boast, I'd rather boast about the things that show how weak I am. What Paul is saying is that, look, I'm not going to let my focus be on the wounds that show how hurt I am. But instead, I'm going to let my focus be on the scars that actually show how healed I am. That's what he's trying to say. Look, your scars, they tell a story of hurt, but they also tell a story of healing. And that is something, that's a change of focus. When you look at the hurt that you've had in your life, we need to stop looking at the wounds. We need to start looking at the healing and what God has done. When my family looks at the scar that is Chad passing away, of losing him, you know what we see now? I mean, yeah, we see the hurt, but you know what we see more than anything? We see the scar, the healing. God has taught us so much, like how God always answers our prayers in his timing. We see that now. We also see that God always heals, maybe sometimes in this life and sometimes in the next life, but God always heals. That's what he does. We've been able to truly see that. You know what else we've learned? We've realized that God always comes near and comforts those who are really going through it. You guys know what I'm talking about. Some of you have gone through way worse than anything I've ever experienced. And you could say, you know what? In those moments, that's when I felt closest to God. Because he came near to me. I've also learned that God, he always turns it around. He always turns what is terrible and your grief, and he turns it into joy. Why are Christian funerals the weirdest funerals? Because people laugh. You ever notice that? Go to a Christian funeral. Believer gone on to be with the Lord, and we're laughing. You're like, what in the world is that? Why are we laughing? The reason we're laughing is because in the middle of our grief, we also have joy. God turns those things around. It's incredible, and it's amazing. Here's the point for today. We all have scars. We shouldn't hide our scars. A lot of us, like if you have a scar on your face, you try to put makeup on to try to mask that. I tried to put makeup on the back of my head. It didn't go good, guys. Like, I mean, it's not a good thing. Don't do that. But why are we hiding from our scars? Those scars tell a story. And you have a story that needs to be told, even if those things are hard. Because what they do is they help other people who need help. They need that in the moment. You're able to empathize with people who are going through some of the same situations that you've gone through, and they need to know that they're not alone. But more than anything, we need to tell the story of a healer who we need to openly thank and worship through our lives, especially through the stories of our healing. That's what God wants to do, to use you to help other people and tell who he is. Look, your scars, they can be an incredible testimony to the world of who Jesus is, of his ability to restore, his ability to forgive, his ability to make things new, and his ability to heal. So here's the big question. How does healing come? How does it actually happen? Now, I'm not like an expert on all of that and thinking about, you know, emotional and psychological wounds that you have. I'm not a counselor up here, okay? Or a psychologist trying to explain things to you. That's not where I'm at. But based off of the experiences I've had in my life and what God's word has to say, you want to know the first way that healing comes? It's by being in Jesus' presence. Being in the presence of Jesus. But when you're going through it, you don't run from him, but you run to him. In fact, Jesus gives us an open invitation that I want us to read. In Matthew chapter 11, here's what Jesus says. He says, come to me. That's an invitation, isn't it? And who's the invitation for? Come to me. All of you who've got it all figured out and you bottled up inside and you've gotten over. No, that's not what he says. He says, come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens. Anybody? Again, this life. At times, it's too much. And he says, come to me. And here's what he says. I will give you rest. That's what this whole passage is about, giving you rest. And he says, take my yoke upon you. What does that mean? We don't understand that today in our culture. But they understood what that meant. You see, you put a yoke, a burden, on an animal to plow the field. But an animal didn't go by themselves. It's always in a pair. And the animals weren't equal either. They would always have kind of a senior animal and an apprentice animal. One to teach them how to go and how to do this and to help them when there was too much. And that's what Jesus is saying. He's saying, look, take my yoke upon you and I'm going to walk with you through this. I'm going to help you. He says, my burden is light. I'll give you rest. We got to go to him. If you're dealing with something, you got this open wound and you've just been, you're doubting God, you're running from God, you got to turn and accept that invitation when Jesus says, come to me. Come to me. Here's the second thing I feel like you have to do. You got to forgive. Just as you've been forgiven. Look, that may be the hardest thing, I'm telling you. Like, especially when someone's done something to you or someone's done something to someone you love and you didn't deserve it. You didn't do anything to cause it. You're a victim in that moment. And God says, forgive. Because you've been forgiven. You know what forgiveness is? It's you giving up your right to get even. Think about that. If you haven't forgiven someone, what you're doing is you're holding on to that right to make it right, to get even with them. Maybe it's not today, maybe it's in the future, but I'm holding that for myself. That's mine to dish out whenever I see fit. And when you forgive someone, what you say is, look, I'm giving up my right to get even with you. Thank God that he did that for us, right? He says, and I'm not going to punish you. I'm going to forgive you. And that may be the hardest thing to do, but the Bible says, gives us a great verse to know how to actually do that. It's a verse we love to take out of context all the time, especially sporting events. Philippians 4:13, right? I do all things through Christ who gives me strength. What is Paul talking about? Well, Paul is talking about being in a situation that he can't deal with. It's too much for him. He's talking about hunger and going without, and he's like, life is just awful. When something's happened to you, life is awful. How do you get through that? You rely on his strength. He'll give you the power and the strength to be able to forgive. You got to forgive. Here's the last thing I'll say about healing. It takes time, doesn't it? Like, it's not as easy as me just getting up here and saying, well, just let God heal you and you'll be fine. It takes time. And sometimes that healing will not come in this life. Maybe it'll come in the life to come. But the Bible gives us some great hope. In Revelation chapter 21, here's what it says in verse 4. It says that here's what Jesus is going to do someday in heaven to you. If you're a believer in Jesus, here's what's going to happen. He'll wipe away every tear from your eyes, and there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All these things are gone forever. Man, I look forward to that day. Don't you? Man, guys, I want to live a long life. I want to live a life so long that my kids have to take care of me. Amen? You know what I'm talking about? That's awesome. Like, payback, okay? Yeah, you can think about what all that means. Okay, so, like, I want that to happen. It's one of my bucket list goals, okay? Because I want to live a long life. I want to pour my life out for the Lord. I want my life to be full and long. I want to be all those things. But, man, I long for the day when I don't hurt anymore. You know what I mean? There's no more pain, no more sorrow. I'm not crying anymore because all those things are gone, and Jesus says, look, you're going to be in my presence, and you're not going to worry about any of that stuff anymore. What a great day that will be. What a great day that will be. Every scar tells a story. It tells a story that you've been hurt, that you're not okay. Things are not going to be the same. But it also tells a story that you've been healed. Amen. And that there's a healer who bandages every wound, as Psalm says, who breaks every chain, who forgets every fault, who gives you hope, who drives away all the fear that you have, and in time, in his time, will heal what is hurting. Amen. And here's how I'd like to end today. In fact, I want to go back to John chapter 16 because I started out by just giving you a tiny part of a verse on purpose. Because I want to save for what Jesus actually says till the end. In John chapter 16, verse 33, when I told you that Jesus says, here on earth you're going to have many trials and sorrows, well, what did he actually say? Here's what he says. I've told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart because I have overcome the world. He says, take heart. What does that mean? Did you know there's only four places in all of the scriptures where there's that word, take heart? And Jesus said all of them. One of them was right here. One of them was when he approached a paralyzed man and he bent down. You know what he said? He said, take heart. Get up and walk. One time all the disciples are on the Sea of Galilee and there's this incredible storm. These guys are fishermen and they're saying, we're going to die. That's a bad storm, okay? They've been through storms before. This is the worst thing they've ever experienced in this life. And they said, we are going to die. And all of a sudden, Jesus walks on the water and approaches them. And he says, take heart. Take heart. It's me. And then towards the end of Paul's life, Paul is in prison. And he's gone through all of these things. And now he's in prison. He's thinking, man, this is all over. There's nothing else for me. And he gets this vision from Jesus. And Jesus says this. He says, take heart. I'm not done with you yet. I still got a plan for you. You know what take heart means? It's Jesus saying, it's going to be okay. To the paralyzed man, it's going to be okay. To those who are going through something incredibly difficult, thought their life was ruined, they said, it's going to be okay. When Paul was at the end of his rope, thought there was no future for him, he says, look, it's going to be okay. I got something for you. I don't know who needs to hear that today. Who's got some open wounds that needs to be healed? Run to him. Run to him. There's that open invitation to come and lay your burdens at his feet. Let him give you rest. Let him give you rest. And hear these words. It's going to be okay. He's got something for you. Let's pray together. Father, you are a good God who loves us. And we live in this broken world. And the truth is simply this morning that we live in a sinful world and we need a Savior. I pray for anyone in this room who has never had a relationship with Jesus, who's never accepted that free gift, what we call salvation, the forgiveness of our sins. In a couple weeks, we're going to celebrate Jesus' scars when he got up on the cross and died for each one of us to pay for our sins. I pray for anyone in this room, anyone listening online right now who needs to accept that gift of forgiveness. I pray, God, today might be the day where they would stop running from you. They would accept your invitation to come and find peace in you, in a relationship with you. That you forgive them of their sins as they confess and ask for forgiveness. You would save them. You would heal them. And that someday when they are in heaven, because they are a believer in you, that all their tears be wiped away and they'll be made completely new. Lord, I pray for those of us in this room who have accepted that free gift of salvation. God, you've truly healed our spiritual wound. But God, we still live in this broken world and we hurt. We're going through it, some of us more than others. Some of us are hiding that. We don't want anybody to know the pain that's going on inside. God, help us to run to you. Help us to forgive when we need to forgive. Help us to be patient with you and to trust you. And I ask, God, that you would heal. And as you heal, as a scar is formed, help us, God, to tell our story to other people. Help us not to hide your healing. May we be not ashamed of the wound. May we boast instead about the scar and what you've done in our lives so that other people may know about Jesus. And we pray all this in Jesus' name.